Welcome to On the Rise, a podcast about female college tennis players on the way up. On the Rise serves compelling stories and unique voices in women's college tennis. This is your host, Perry Scheinen. In this episode of On the Rise, I will be speaking with University of Texas sophomore Peyton Stearns, who became the first Longhorn to capture the NCAA Individual Championship this May. Led by head coach Howard Joffe, assistant coach Taylor Fogelman, and volunteer assistant Justin Butch, Peyton helped lead the Longhorns to their second consecutive NCAA team championship, mere days before winning the singles title. The day after we recorded this episode, Peyton joined the professional tour. Hi, this is Perry, your host, and I'm joined today by Peyton Stearns from Texas Women's Tennis. Thank you so much for joining me.
Of course.
Well, this is super fun. I feel like I have so many questions, but the first question I have to ask the general sports broadcaster question of what did it feel like to win the NCAA individual title and the NCAA team title?
Insane. You know, I think for the team event, it was like, wow, I just did that two times. That's insane. And for the individuals, honestly, I was so happy, but I think I was so tired to even like process what was going on that it didn't hit me until the car ride home.
So you just won so many matches in a row. I mean, we are deep in this postseason and you're still winning matches. Was there a moment in this winning streak from the team title to the individual title where you just took a break or you kind of stepped away, or were you 100% focused the entire time?
I would say I was 100% focused the entire time. I mean, I had to be, especially for individuals. You know, everything hurt. I remember going to bed one night and I was just like, this hurts, that hurts, this hurts. And I couldn't sleep. But the next day I was like, I'm not tired, I'm fine. Pop some ibuprofen, you know, get treatment and go out there and play. And that's how my mentality had to be. Otherwise, I would have made it like mentally.
And your Instagram says you're very caffeinated, a caffeine dependent life form, which I love.
Oh yeah.
Were you drinking coffee throughout these past 3 weeks?
Absolutely. I was getting a venti from Starbucks every day. On top of that, a little bit of extra caffeine before the match as well.
Insane. And you love caffeine before a match and you can really hold on to the racket. You can not get too jittery.
Yeah, I think my body's used to it with how much caffeine I do take. Definitely trying to limit that now. But, you know, I think it's just that extra little kick to start the match with, a little bit of energy boost. But I try not to take too much to where I crash on court too. That never ends well.
Have you messed up that balance before?
Yeah, I have, but that's a good thing it was in practice. So we're good. I was like, I'm dying out here. I need to stop.
Tell me about the car ride home. So it all hit you on the car ride home from individuals. And so for those of us that don't know, it's the team title first and then the individual title that you won in that order. So after individuals, you were done. You're driving home. What are you thinking?
So I was actually in the car with my brother and two friends because they had driven up and seen me play. And my parents were in the other car, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go with my brother. I haven't seen him in a while. You guys were here for 9 days. See you, goodbye kind of thing. But I was in the car, and the whole time, him and the two guys in the car were just like, oh, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah. I was like, my phone's blowing up. You guys are telling me this is amazing. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel real. And I remember we went to get food. I was like, wow, okay, like, I did that. It's like, I really just did that. You know, I won NCAA is something that at Texas no one has ever done. And it finally hits me like how big winning that actually was.
And so on the court in the championship, were you thinking about the next match? Were you kind of pretending there was a next match? Because at this point you just had that vibe going and that momentum going over all these weeks. Did you try to trick yourself?
Yeah, I actually counted down the sets, which worked. You know, I started off the tournament, I think it was 12 sets for individuals, and I won the first day. I was like, okay, 10. You know, I won the next day in a close two-setter. I was like, you know what, that's fine, you just have 8 more sets to go, and so on and so forth. And I remember in the quarters I played Aaron and we had split. I was kind of like ruffled by that, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to a third, my body doesn't feel great, I'm not playing my best tennis. And I remember just thinking over the changer, like, you have one more set to play today and then you're done. And then after this, there's 6 more sets. You can do this. You can push through the set to where you only have a couple more sets to go. And I did. And it was kind of like a little mental breakthrough, I think, at that point to help me get through that semifinals and finals match, honestly.
And I did want to talk about that match against Erin because obviously she's such a fantastic player. You're such a fantastic player. This matchup that really, I mean, game style wise, you know, what did you think about that?
You know, Erin's a big hitter like me, and I recently got to know Erin pretty well. We went to a USTA camp early in January. That's where I first met her. And I remember I was coming off an injury and we played. They were like, okay, go play a match. And we're playing a third set, like for 3 hours was the match. And I was dying. I was like, Erin, I haven't played this long since like 4 months ago. Like, geez. And, you know, playing her in the quarters, I knew what I was getting. I knew it was going to be a great match, fair match. You know, Erin's a great person, great tennis player. And at the end of the day, I just knew it was going to be whoever was more aggressive and who made balls and mentally stayed in it.
And so that breakthrough after the quarters, when did you feel quote unquote close to the title, if ever?
After the first set in my semifinal match, I was like, okay, you know, you have 3 more sets to win technically if you want to win this title. And I remember in the semis, I went down 3-4, 15-40. I was like, oh goodness, like, if I lose this set, I don't know if my body can take, you know, another set on top of maybe 2 more tomorrow. And somehow managed to come back, win that game on a deuce point. In the next game, 4-all, I was down 15-40 again. I was like, come on, Peyton, like, you need to win the set. If you can't do this to your body if you want to keep hanging in there. Came back, won the point on a deuce point. You know, 5-4, 15-40 again. It's like, you need to win this game. You can't keep doing this to yourself. Came back, won the deuce point, won that set 6-4. And I think that also helped transition into the finals a little bit. You know, and even in the finals too, whoever watched the match, if anyone watched the match, you know, it wasn't the best tennis by any means on both of our ends. That's definitely for sure. It was very nervous, stressy kind of tennis. I wasn't hitting as big as I wanted to. Connie makes a lot of balls. She wasn't making a lot of balls. And I think one thing that really helped me get through is going through so many mental challenges during the week, but also I was so tired to even realize what was going on that it was just another tennis match to me.
I'm curious about that second set championship. You know, you're in the finals, you're one set away, you've counted down from 12 sets. How do you get through that final set?
I remember the start of the second set, I got a little tight, but managed to go through it. And I was like, Peyton, try to get these first 2-3 games and it'll take a lot off your plate if you're up in this set rather than being down, trying to get back, maybe let her get a little bit more loose and all that. So that's what I did. And, you know, kind of just went like that after that. And needless to say, it came out on top.
What did you do to celebrate?
Slept. I was so tired. I went home that night. I remember I was like, I'm going to get ice cream. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm a big fan of Grater's ice cream. They're based out of Cincinnati. So I went and got Grater's, came back, slept into the next day till probably about noon, woke up, did absolutely nothing. Monday, kind of got back into it a little bit, but still was very relaxing. And then Tuesday came around, kind of got recovering, hitting again, and back to it because I have some tournaments this summer. I really haven't gotten to celebrate, but I also haven't seen many of my friends since we came down to Florida to vacation a little bit. So I guess this is a little break away from tennis. But once I get back, definitely hang out with some friends, do some celebrating.
And this year, the NCAA team championships were streamed on Tennis One. But last year, I got to see them on Tennis Channel sitting at home in the height of the pandemic. And it was just an unbelievable experience because my entire family, we were all sitting there and we were glued to our seats for the entire match. It was such a thrilling night. And I was so glad that it could be broadcast, you know, on cable TV for people to see all over the country and the world. What do you feel changed from last year to this year? Because the title certainly didn't. That stayed the same.
Yeah, that stayed the same. Honestly, I loved it a lot better last year. Just with the streaming wise, I felt like this year it wasn't as hyped up. You know, Tennis One did a great job streaming and all that. But it's one thing when you're on cable TV. I was getting texts and calls from people. They were like, we were just going through channels and all of a sudden we see Texas Tennis in the finals of NCs. And we had some alumni who were like, we didn't even know you were in the finals until we saw it on Tennis Channel. So I feel like I got a lot more, you know, texts, comments, calls last year. And just a lot more people knew what was happening compared to this year. A lot of people didn't.
And so what are your plans for the summer? And, you know, what do you think mentally heading into it?
I've got a lot of events coming up. I think I have 3 in this month, 3 in July, and hopefully 3 in August. Going into this, I have a lot of confidence, not just because, you know, I won, but because of what I had to go through to win. And it's just like, you know, if I'm in the finals or semis and I'm feeling a little tired, it's like, Peyton, you played 15 matches in 9 days. I think you can get through a couple day tournament. So I think it's just mentally refreshing that I know I can do this kind of thing.
So will that be travel in the country or internationally or both?
I'm going to stay in the States this summer, just to kind of stay close to home, you know, see the family and all that. Hopefully play in the Western and Southern Open, which I live 10 minutes away from. So that would be amazing. I got to play in qualies last year, so hopefully I get to do that again. But those kind of tournaments are just the best.
Does it add pressure or take it off that you're so close to home?
Last year, definitely pressure. It was one of my first big like WTA events. And especially with the home crowd, everyone's out there. I was just like a deer in headlights. And honestly, I didn't get to play my kind of tennis that I wanted to play because I was so amped up and nervous. And I was like, I'm the star on the stage. I'm not used to this many people. And then, you know, when I played the US Open too, there's no fans for quali. So I never really quite got that fan base, like people watching kind of scenario until Indian Wells in October, which was nice.
You received a spot to play in the US Open after winning the NCAAs. And when did it hit you? Has it hit you yet?
I don't think it's hit me yet. You know, I've had so many people come up to me and just congratulate me, that some people I don't know, some people I do know. The US Open part has not hit me, that's for sure. But I think one thing that has hit me lately is how big my name is now in the tennis world. Last year winning a national title, it was out there, but with the year I've had so far, playing qualies in the US Open and qualies in Western Southern, I think my name is definitely flung around there a lot more, and I'm a lot more well-known now across the world, or in the States at least, which is kind of pretty cool.
Does that scare you at all?
A little bit, just more because I'm afraid I might mess up something, you know, with social media or whatnot. Try to be on my best behavior all the time, on court, off court. I don't like to be too much of a hothead on court, but sometimes it is a struggle to not get mad at yourself. But, you know, what really gets me going is when I look at Instagram, you have your message request. And I don't normally go in there because there's a lot of negativity just from sports bettors and all that. But the positive side of going in there is I do get these messages from, you know, younger girls who are playing tennis. And they're just like, you know what, you're a role model to me. I really idolize looking up to you. You winning individuals really inspired me to keep playing tennis and all that kind of stuff. So it's really like heartwarming seeing that I'm inspiring other people to play tennis and help this sport grow as it is.
So a few years ago, well, at this point, it's a lot of years ago, when we played at Zonals and you whipped my butt, needless to say, but something I remember on court, and I'm curious if you still, you know, kind of have goals around this, is just how big your forehand was. It was the biggest forehand I'd ever played. And it was, you know, going a million miles an hour. We were probably 14, but it was the biggest forehand at the entire place. We played at Oklahoma when it was super windy. And so, of course, I couldn't hit through the wind as it was, but you were against the wind and you were just ripping that thing. It was unreal. So how are you planning to use your game, you know, kind of continually around your forehand if you are?
Yeah, definitely based around the forehand, always looking to hit forehands. You know, it's honestly now working on the bits and pieces that aren't my forehand because it's so good that it's just there. But bringing up the other pieces to where I don't have as many or maybe not as deep weaknesses in my game. But I know I'm known for my forehand. You know, every time I hit, if I'm hitting at a park or a different club, everyone's just like, wow, your forehand, just amazing. And I'm just like, I think I'm so used to people telling me your forehand's amazing that I'm just like, eh, it's okay, you know, like I don't think I even realize how good I can hit the ball sometimes until recently. You know, I've always, as you said, like 14s, 16s even, I probably was the biggest slap because it's just like see ball, hit ball as hard as you can with no projected target, but just in the court. And somehow that got me through because of how hard I could hit it. But at some point it also ruined me because these other girls realized that I didn't know what I was doing out there and I was just hitting a tennis ball. So the biggest aspect in the past 2-3 years was learning what to do, when to do it, how to set up a point, and really maneuver the point with my forehand or set up the forehand. And I think that's why I'm doing so well lately.
I agree from watching your matches, completely agree. And that I feel like in a lot of ways, college has, it has made you this three-dimensional player. And I think that's so cool. You know, do you think that playing all these matches in college, you know, what has it done for you?
I get a match or maybe two matches probably every weekend during the season, which is crazy to think about because I could go out and lose the first singles match. And it's like, okay, 2 days later, you're going to go play this team. So it's like I'm guaranteed all these matches. So I'm able to really maneuver and criticize and change things in my game or work on during these matches because it's like, it's a match. I'm going to get to play another match in the next 2 days. You're just guaranteed all these matches. And I think that's made me a lot more match tough.
And so you're a sophomore, only a sophomore. What are your plans for the future? Are you going to come back to Texas for another year?
Thinking about it still, you know, not sure what else I can accomplish in college tennis, to be honest. Been hearing that a lot. You know, I go on Twitter and I see all these tweets and it does have me thinking, you know, it's very true. I've done a lot in college. I think, you know, maybe the pro route is the way to go now.
Not only that, but, you know, leaving that legacy at Texas, being the first one to capture the singles title, but also, you know, the same year, just capturing that title with your teammates, you know, what did that mean to you to be surrounded by those girls when you lifted the trophy?
A lot, you know, entirely different group of people compared to last year and this year. And I got to do it with both of them. You know, my mom was telling me, and so how many years from now I'm going to come back and it's going to be like the group of people I was here with during my time at Texas are all national champions. So when I come back, it's going to be we're all celebrating that we're national champions, which is pretty cool because not a lot of people get to say that.
In both years, from an outsider perspective, your team seems like so much fun. Seriously, I don't know if it's because I don't know if it's the social media or if it's the vibe from the girls. I mean, obviously, I know some of you and you are fun people. But when put all together, do all of you have a blast?
Yeah, we have some fun. You know, I say this a lot. You know, tennis is a big priority in everyone's lives, but we're also human. You know, we're in college. We're going to have fun. You know, this year the tournament was in Champaign, but we would go to bakeries, find things to do, go off and go on walks. It's just like, in our free time, we just don't want to sit. We want to go do something. I remember vividly from last year at NC's, we were in Orlando and the tournament had a balcony indoors. We went and we bought bubbles. We're blowing bubbles off the balcony in our hotel. These other teams are probably like, who are these schmucks blowing bubbles in the lobby? Like, there's no way they're going to win. And we won a national championship. So we were acting like fools around the hotel just with that kind of thing. You know, we were putting stickers on our coach's door, just trying to have fun whenever we could. And I think that relayed over to the court so much where that fun just continued when we were on court.
How do you keep it light even in the pressure moments?
I think it's just knowing that your teammates are there for you and they're also fighting for you and for everyone else besides you. So if I ever get nervous, you know, my teammates next door to me, they'll just be like, come on, Peyton, let's go, come on. Like, and it's just that kind of thing where they're there, they're behind you, and they're fighting. So it's like, come on, you need to fight harder for them. Kind of gets you, like for me personally, it gets me going where if I start slacking, like, Peyton, your teammate behind you, next to you, like everywhere around you, they're fighting. Keep going, like bring it to them. And it really helps at the end of the day.
Did you make friends off the team as well?
It was tough because freshman year was COVID. Everything was online. It was crazy. And I felt like by sophomore year, it was like, the people you knew. I knew a couple other athletes, but other than that, I really didn't get to meet a whole lot of people on campus because I did not take a single class in person in my past 2 years at Texas.
You've never walked into a college class. That is unbelievable. That is the reality of this pandemic.
It's crazy.
You're not alone. There are a lot of college players that I've talked to that have similar situations. Wow.
Yeah.
And you were online for high school, correct?
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that much of a change, honestly, for me. I enjoyed it.
You know, kind of thinking about the future of women's college tennis, I mean, this podcast is devoted to it, but it's a space that I feel could just use so much more coverage and is always being undercovered, honestly. And, you know, what do you think about that?
You know, I look around me at the other sports, especially at Texas, and safe to say we're probably at the bottom, which is crazy to think about because, I mean, just what we did last year, this year, what we're going to continue to do, the ranking we have, the facility we have, no one covers it. And you look next door where softball's playing, and fans are lining up out the door to come watch, and it's broadcasted, social media everywhere. People are always talking about it. It's like tennis gets none of that. And, you know, especially with NIL deals, I got a decent amount of them, but not as many as I would hope I would have gotten compared to these other athletes and other sports out there, which was kind of upsetting seeing these other athletes get great deals. But I bet these brands would have loved to collab and connected, but we don't get as much coverage. So it's, what are they getting out of it?
It's a great point. And I want to chat with you about NIL because I'm really happy to see that you've taken advantage of some opportunities. And so you are UTR Collegiate Ambassador, and that's so cool because UTR is taking over the world. But, you know, what does it mean to you to represent not only UTR, but also these brands, you know, when you play and also off the court?
It's pretty cool. I feel like an influencer when I'm taking these videos and pictures. It's just like, I don't know how they do it. I had to do a video for Universal Tennis the other day because they did the collab with Fabletics. And I'm just like, goodness, how many poses am I supposed to be doing? Like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. Is the background okay? It's a lot, but it's exciting. You know, I've been working with Southern Tide as well. I got some Pit Vipers from them. That was pretty cool. You know, Liquid IV, all these different companies, Rowing Blazers. It's kind of cool having your foot in the door with a lot of these people for when you do decide to go pro, or maybe even in the future if you don't go pro and you're looking for a job. It's nice to have these contacts and know people in the business.
That's a very interesting perspective about a career off the court as well with these companies. I've never heard anyone say that. Do you have a career in mind, you know, an off the court career that you would want to pursue?
You know, I'm getting into kinesiology. I've always wanted to be a PT. I just don't think I could not be in the sports realm in my life just because that's all I know. So, you know, when I have been injured, knock on wood, only a few times, PTs were the one there helping me get through the struggles and get through faster. And I think, you know, when it is my time to maybe look into that, if tennis doesn't work out, or maybe it does and I just want to continue in a career outside of tennis, I would love to help other people get back to what they love doing. My name is Peyton Stearns, and I'm on the rise.
And this is your host, Perry, and this has been another episode of On the Rise podcast. This has been an episode of On the Rise, a Tennis Channel podcast in partnership with Behind the Racket and produced by Molly Scholson. Join us next time to continue our conversation about women's college tennis. This is Perry Scheinen, On the Rise.